Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our evening worship service. And the announcements are as follows. There's a new Leprosy Mission magazine available from the table today. There's no meeting on Tuesday night this week. Midweek meeting is not on Tuesday, it's on Thursday this week. Wednesday evening is the Northern Presbytery visitation of Ballyclabber. And William is due to be our Kilrats elder at that presbytery meeting. The midweek meeting then is on Thursday night at 8 o'clock in the church hall. Visiting speaker is Mr. Peter Rowlands, who'll be speaking about the work of the food bank in Ballymoney. And then next Lord's Day, Sabbath school classes at 11. The morning worship service is due to be led by Mr. Brian Dunwoody. I'm to be in Ballylagan for the morning service with a congregational meeting afterwards. And then in the evening, prayer time is on, and I'm due back for the evening service here next Lord's Day. Go Relief Committee are looking for volunteers to help removing the pews from the Milford Church building. They're not using that church building anymore. It wasn't safe, and that works to take place on, I think it'll be safe enough for taking the pews out, but... Friday the 4th of November in the evening, and then Saturday morning the 5th of November. Robert Robb is a person to contact if anyone's able to help with that work. And then next weekend is the Northern Presbytery CY sleepover. Tomorrow's the last day for applications for that. Starts on Friday night, 7:30, finishes on Saturday at 8:30, with Joel Lockridge due to be the speaker on promises. Well, those are the announcements. We worship God together this evening, and we sing his praise, singing some stanzas from Psalm 66a. Psalm 66, the A version of the psalm. We sing the first three stanzas, and then also we sing 10 to 12. So it's the first three and the last three. Psalm begins with the words, "Shout to God with joy, all nations. Sing the splendor of his name. Make his praise resound with glory. Awesome are your works, proclaim." And Psalm speaks about the great and awesome works of the Lord. Stanza 11, it says, "Had I in my heart regarded sin, the Lord would not me hear. God most certainly has heard me and has listened to my prayer." And in that verse where we're taught the necessity of coming to God in a genuine and sincere way, not wanting to hold on to sin, we're told that if we do that, God will not hear us. But the psalmist says that God certainly did hear his prayer. So there is a prayer that God hears. There's a prayer that God isn't going to listen to. We come then to worship him, and we sing 1 to 3 and 10 to 12. The tune we use is Beecher, number 254, Psalm 66a. We'll stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God.
Sing the splendor of his name. Make his praise resound with glory. Awesome are your works, proclaim. Say to God so great your power, that your foes obedience fail. See God's works, how awesome, his deeds to the sons of men. He the sea turned into dry land, they walked through the river then. Come and listen, all God-fearers.
Lord God in heaven, we praise you for your wonderful works, and we thank you, Lord, that your works bear witness to yourself, that they are the evidence for the great God that you are. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is great in all things, but you're a God who is great in salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for your covenant loving kindness that you've shown to all those people that you have chosen to set your love upon and to bring to eternal life. And we give thanks, Lord, that not one has been lost of all those upon whom you have set that covenant loving kindness of yours. And we look to you now this evening. We ask that you will help us as we seek to bring you our worship. We give thanks, O Lord, for the scriptures and what we can learn from your word. We praise you that the things that are written down were written down for our benefit, and that they teach us about ourselves and about what we need to do, about the things we need to believe, the things we need to practice, the things we need to avoid. We ask forgiveness, Lord, for our sins, and we pray that you'll give us hearts that are ready to respond to whatever direction you would show us that we need to go in. Lord, hear our prayers now, and we ask that your Spirit will be with us this evening as we seek to worship you. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together from God's Word this evening, turning to the Old Testament book of Joshua. And near the end of the book of Joshua, to chapter 23, it's on page 215 in our church Bible. And we read the whole of chapter 23 and then also part of Joshua chapter 24. So let us hear God's word as we find it in Joshua chapter 23. And in these two chapters is another occasion in the scriptures where we have a time of covenant renewal. There was covenant renewal at the end of the life of Moses, at the end of Deuteronomy. And then at the end of the life of Joshua, you have the same kind of thing. And there is a covenant renewal ceremony that takes place at Shechem. I'm not going to be talking about that as such, but that is what's happening here in these two chapters. So Joshua chapter 23, this is God's word. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go in to them, and they to you. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and have served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. And then turning over to chapter 24, and we read from verse 13. And verse 13 of Joshua 24. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. And we'll end our scripture readings there at that verse in Joshua 24. Now we sing again to God's praise, turning to Psalm 119, and we sing part 2A of Psalm 119. The tune is Warrington, number 37. Psalm 119, part 2a. How can a youth his life keep pure? The answer is, if with your word he guards his way. Second stanza says, your word I've stored within my heart, that I against you may not sin. And Psalm 119 speaks throughout about the great value of God's word. And here is one way in which it's of great value. We store it up in our heart so that we may not sin against the Lord. And by that word, our lives can be kept pure. So we sing to God's praise Psalm 119, part 2a, and the tune Warrington, number 37. We stand as we sing praise to God. We've been thinking in recent times about occasions in the scriptures where covenants have been renewed, and within those times, it's always the case that it has been done against a background of the sins of God's people. And we saw that this morning in the times of Nehemiah, and how there was that recollection going through the history of God's people, and how again and again and again they had sinned against him. And it was the same old sins that kept coming up in one generation after another after another. And isn't that just the same kind of thing that we experience in our own individual lives? It's the same old sins that keep bringing us down, and that keep holding us back. And I want to speak this evening about our stubborn sins. Not in any specific way, but just thinking in general about our stubborn sins. And I've read from the Old Testament book of Joshua. And Joshua, at the end of his days, he's speaking to God's people, and he's talking to them about what's going to happen whenever he's gone. And he sets before them the very real threat and danger that they're not going to deal with those people who were still in the promised land that they were supposed to drive out and get rid of. And he warns them that if they don't do this, it will cause real problems for them. And we can be a bit like the Israelites who entered the promised land and failed to drive out some of the tribes that were there before them. The Israelites allowed those people to remain, and we can allow sins to remain in our lives, and they will trouble us and keep on troubling us. And the longer our sins are allowed to remain unchallenged in our lives, the more the roots go down deeper, and the harder it is to get rid of those things and to deal with those things. Is it the case that we have stubborn sins, or is it the case that we are just stubborn in not dealing with our sins? Well, I'll give us the benefit of the doubt, and I'll talk about our stubborn sins. How are we ever going to get rid of the things that drag us down and hold us back from growing as God would want us to grow? Well, we need to believe that it is possible for change to happen. Sometimes we don't really believe that it's possible for us to change, and we have a defeatist attitude. And if we're ever going to change and get rid of our stubborn sins, or make some progress in getting rid of our stubborn sins, well, then we need to believe that change is possible, and we also need to have some idea of how that change can come about. And those are the two things I want to speak about this evening. I want to speak about the fact that for believers, change is possible, and then also to speak about how change comes. It is first of all, thinking then about the fact that change is possible. It is sadly all too easy for us to fall into a pattern where we don't really try to address the sins that we know are there in our lives. We don't address them because we have got used to them. They've been there for so long, and we can pretty much see them as just being a part of us, rather than something that God wants us to confess and to repent of. And the key thing that we forget when we tolerate our stubborn sins is the power of God the Holy Spirit, who lives within all of his saved people. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there the apostle is teaching us that it is by walking in the Spirit, by living in dependence upon God the Holy Spirit, and under the influence of God the Holy Spirit, that we are enabled to avoid the sins that have a strong grip upon us and that strangle the life out of us. Change for good is possible because God the Holy Spirit is real. God the Holy Spirit lives within every one who is a follower of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God who makes us a follower of Jesus in the first place. It's the Spirit of God who begins a good work within us. And it is his role and his job to keep that good work going, to keep it going for as many days as we live in this present life. Philippians 1 verse 6 tells us that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to stop having begun the good work. He's going to keep on doing his good work. And in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, we're told that Christians are being transformed into Christ's likeness with ever-increasing glory, being more like the Lord Jesus Christ with ever-increasing glory. That's by the work of God the Holy Spirit. And it is the special work of the Holy Spirit to bring about change within God's saved people. And God wants us to expect that that is what we will experience in life. We need to be positive, to have a positive mindset, and to expect to see God's Spirit leading us forward. And that will inevitably mean that we will win victories over sins that always used to defeat us. And we are not alone in our struggle against sin. God himself is within us, and God is on our side. Now, the Spirit of God, he works in a variety of ways to accomplish his good work within us. And it is the work of God the Holy Spirit to bring us under conviction of sin, so that we actually are troubled by our sins, and we see our sins as being sins, and we don't just excuse them, that when you work with people like that, you couldn't do anything other than what I've done, and so on. The Spirit of God convicts us in our hearts, and we see sin as being sin. See, left to ourselves, we can just get used to our sin. Left to ourselves, we can get used to so much, but we're not left to ourselves. God doesn't take his Spirit away from his saved people. Always he is there, and he is opening our eyes to see sin for what sin really is. And God, the Holy Spirit, is serious about helping us with our troublesome sins, our stubborn sins. And he will bring circumstances into our lives that he intends to use those circumstances to lead us forward in Christ-likeness. And sometimes that is not something that we will appreciate at all. There'll be times when perhaps we will hear people saying things about us that we would have wished we had never heard those things at all. But we did hear those things. And God meant us to hear those things. And we shouldn't tell God that that was the last thing we needed, because if it happened in our lives, that's what God saw that we needed. Lamentations 3, 37 and 38, it says, "Who is he who speaks, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed?" All comes to us in the wise plan of God. And the goal towards which God the Holy Spirit is working in our lives is the creation of holiness. It is the development of Christ-likeness. And God the Holy Spirit will work all things together towards that good purpose. And therefore, we should expect to see progress, and we should expect that it'll be hard going at times to see any progress at all. What we shouldn't expect is that we'll just be at a standstill, that we're not going anywhere, we're not getting anywhere, we're not making any progress. Surely that could not be the case if God Himself, God the Holy Spirit, lives within us. We need to expect that, having been put within us, that He will bring us forward in dealing with our troublesome sins. And so, surely we do need to recapture and revive our belief in the sovereign power of God the Holy Spirit. He who is within us is greater than he who is in the world. Within you, if you're a Christian, is the sovereign Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and there is nothing stronger that is against you. And the scriptures often speak to us about our personal responsibility for putting sin to death. Hebrews 12, verse 1, for example, we're told that we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. But we ourselves are weak, and we know that we're weak, and we cannot make any real spiritual progress in our own strength. It is only by the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit that we can make progress. And we are weak, but He is strong. And it's because there is a strong Spirit of God within Christ's saved people that there is progress to be made. He is strong, and therefore we will advance in the things of God. If we believe in Him, if we trust in Him, and if we look to Him, if we seek to walk by the Spirit, we will see the Spirit of God working in us and through us, and He will cleanse us from those stubborn remaining sins that spoil our witness and that spoil our testimony. And God will delight in doing that work within His saved people. And if we sincerely desire to address those stubborn sins in our lives, we can be sure of the help of God the Holy Spirit, because that is what He desires. The Spirit of God does not want us to live amidst the ruins of our old sins. He desires a more fitting home in which for Him to dwell. He lives within us, and He wants to live in a nice place. And when we are ready for renovation, we can be sure that the Spirit of God is ready, and He has been willing long before we were willing. Change is possible for Christians. Change is promised through the Spirit of God. We are not alone. The Spirit of Almighty God lives within us. Can we change? Yes, we can, by the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16. That's the theory. How does it actually happen in practice? How does change come? Nothing here in any great detail, just two simple things. God will, in His time and in His way, He will work. But there are instructions that He supplies us with for what our approach is meant to be. And most of all, we need to cultivate a conscious reliance upon the work of God's Spirit. Every day we need to think, I need the Spirit of God. Without that, we'll not get far. We'll just be working in our own strength. And that trust in the Holy Spirit it works itself out in various ways. I'm just going to speak about prayer, the role of prayer, and the role of the Scriptures. First of all, prayer. We have to rely on God, the Holy Spirit, to show us what our sins are. The Spirit of God is far more reliable than our conscience is. And we need the work of God's Spirit in order that we would see things as actually being sins. We can make endless excuses for things that we do. But God, the Holy Spirit, is able to bring us under conviction of sin. And we need to pray that he will do that. We'll be singing from Psalm 139 shortly. And at the end of Psalm 139, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And we need the Spirit of God to show us our ways that are offensive ways as far as God is concerned. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to show us our offensive ways. He will enable us to see those sins that are still hanging in there, and we haven't got rid of them yet. Prayer is all important in terms of how change comes. We're not going to change unless we pray. But prayer opens the door to the possibility of change. And then also there is the role of the Scriptures. When the Spirit of God shows us our sins, he normally does that by means of the Scriptures. It's the things that we read in the Word of God, or the things that we hear read, or the things that we hear preached upon, that the Spirit uses to show us our sin. And the Spirit of God also uses the Scriptures to show us how we are to avoid those sins. And the Spirit will remind us of the very words that we need to be thinking about at the time when we are facing temptation. We sang from Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And when God's word is stored up within our hearts, the Spirit of God reaches into our heart and brings the words out that are the words that we need to be thinking about. And he convicts us of sin. And we can be busy excusing ourselves and saying, "It's perfectly natural for me to be saying this or doing this or having that attitude." And the Spirit of God reaches into our hearts and brings out just a few words. And those few words, they just blow away our excuses. And we see ourselves as sinners. And it's not the other people that have to repent, but we have to repent of our sin. You can't repent for someone else. But when you know and the Spirit shows you your own sin, well, then you have to deal with that. And when we make that effort to store the Word of God in our hearts, then the Spirit of God will use that word. The Lord Jesus, when he was tempted, he used the words of the Scriptures, and that was the thing that was necessary. And it is through the Scriptures that God gives us what we need to fight against our stubborn sins. And so, for example, when we're just about to give ourselves over to a bout of anxiety or worry or discontent or grumbling or impatience or frustration, well, the Spirit of God can just bring out of the Scriptures stored up in our hearts the reminder that all our circumstances are appointed unto us by God himself, and they are all for our good. They have all come to us from our loving Father in heaven. And it's not the devil that has brought these things upon us. He's not the primary actor. It is God who has brought these things about. And we might hate these things, we might long to be out of these things, but the Spirit of God reminds us that the Scriptures teach us that God is in this. And we can't accept good from him and not accept evil. We have to believe these things. And it's not enough just to pray and to read the Bible. We need to do these things. We need to pray, we need to read the Scriptures, and we need to put those Scriptures into practice when God brings them to the forefront of our mind. But you can pray and you can read the Bible without having a conscious dependence on God, the Holy Spirit. And if we're not depending on the Holy Spirit, then we don't have the power that we need, because the power doesn't come from us, but it comes from him. And so we do need to absorb the Word of God. We need to take it into us so that it's there for the Spirit of God to bring out at the time that it's needed. But we have to rely upon God to make it effective. And for all the stubborn sins that are there in our lives, things like lack of self-control, or anger, or irritability, or gossip, or jealousy, or a critical spirit, for all of these things that we might redefine as something other than sin, but which God sees as being sins, for all of these things, there are appropriate words in the Bible. There are appropriate experiences of God's people in the Bible. There is in the Scriptures what we need to dwell upon to keep us from these things. But we need the power of God's Spirit to help us to stop giving in to these things and to lead us out of them instead and into whatever is the right response that God wants us to learn. You get used to the wrong response, but God needs us to learn the right way of responding. And it's through the Spirit of God that can come about. So change is possible for believers because of the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We need to pray to the Lord, and we need to obey those Scriptures that God's Holy Spirit brings into our minds. We need to grow more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we give ourselves to living by the Spirit of God, we will leave behind those things that are sinful. And our light will shine more brightly for the Lord. And of course, we will not always succeed. There will be times when we will fail, and we will fail again. But God, the Holy Spirit, will use those times of defeat. He will use those times of disobedience. He will use those times when we are the ones that are being stubborn, and it's not our sins that are being stubborn. The Spirit of God will use those things to bring us to understand just how deeply rooted our sins are, and just how fully we must depend on the Holy Spirit of God to get us out of those stubborn sins of ours. Scriptures warn us about the stubbornness of sin, but the Scriptures hold out the hope. Here's what you need: the indwelling Spirit of Almighty God. And the Lord says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Yes, there are stubborn sins, but God, the Holy Spirit, he's not going to go and leave us. He is a greater force for good than sin is for evil. Amen. Now we turn to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand now as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to you again in prayer, and we come confessing, O Lord, that we have many stubborn sins. We confess that we ourselves are stubborn, and we stubbornly refuse to deal with our stubborn sins. And we pray, Lord, for your forgiveness, and we pray that you will help us to cultivate a more real dependence upon your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you grant us your Spirit to dwell within us. We thank you for those times when we know that he has reminded us of the Scriptures, and that has been the very thing that we have needed. But, O Lord, we confess that often that's not been the case, and we've just gone on in our own way rather than seeking to find your way. So, Lord, we pray for your working within us. Help us to believe that you do desire to change us and that you will change us. And, Lord, we pray that you'll keep us from being defeatist, keep us from being deniers of what the Scriptures plainly teach. We give thanks, Lord, for how your word continues to go forth, and we thank you, Lord, for how you continue to open people's hearts to the good news of the gospel. We pray for the congregation in Lisburn as they have special meetings on, marking their 40 years as a congregation. We pray for David Sutherland as he speaks at those meetings. We pray that there'll be a real encouragement for the folk in the congregation, and we pray that others who come in among them will hear the message, O Lord, and that you would work mightily in their hearts, and we pray that your word will go forth in power. We pray for our Shaftesbury Square congregation in Belfast, and we pray, Lord, for their efforts to reach people there in Belfast city centre. We pray for a meeting coming up this week for Noel McCune from Newry, who's due to be speaking at that. And Lord, we pray that there will be visitors that will come along to that meeting. There'll be people who will listen and who will find hope in the things that they're hearing. And we pray that you will create opportunities for further contact with those people. Lord, we ask that you will give encouragements to the small congregation there in Shaftesbury. We pray, Father, for the presbytery visitation of the Ballyclabber congregation that's taking place this week, and pray for Wednesday night in that meeting for those who will be answering questions on behalf of the Ballyclabber congregation. We pray for the visitation finding committee as they would consider what they hear on the night, as they would consider also the responses that people have given to the questionnaires that have been circulated. And we pray that taking all these things together, they'll be able to form a good picture of the situation in Ballyclabber. We pray that this will be for the well-being of the congregation there. We give thanks, Lord, for men who have recently become elders there in that congregation. We thank you also for the election of deacons that they've had, and we pray that you will strengthen your cause there. We do give thanks for the good work that has been done in Ballyclabber, and we pray that that will continue. Pray for James Blair, that you help him as he has that responsibility also of being interim moderator in the Dervock congregation. And we pray, O Lord, that you will give strength to James, that if that vacancy continues, that he will be able to cope with the demands that places upon him. And we pray, O Lord, that if that vacancy comes to an end soon, that will be something that will be a real blessing and benefit to James and for the work in Ballyclabber. Lord, we give thanks for the visit of Brian Dunwoody next Lord's Day to take the morning service. We give thanks for Brian. We thank you, Lord, for the work that he does as an elder in the Lima Valley congregation. Pray for him as he is awaiting the response to that call to his minister. We give thanks, Lord, for the services that he takes in vacant congregations and for the work that he does as the chairman of the mission committee. And Lord, we pray that you will help him in that role, that in all the things that are are happening at present with the building work in Nantes and the new focus of the work in Seville, and with looking at the possibility of a new location for Irish mission work, we pray, Lord, for your help and for your wisdom in considering all these things and in keeping on top of everything. And we pray that you'll bless Brian's ministry as he comes here next Lord's Day, and that he would benefit from being among folk here in Karatz. We give thanks, Lord, for today. Thank you for our earlier service of covenant renewal for all who were able to be out today. We pray, Lord, for others who weren't able to be out or who were away. And Lord, we pray that they in time will be able also to add their names to those who have signed the covenant. And we pray for your blessing upon us, O Lord, as we seek to honor you and as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the particular challenges that are here for us in the days in which we live. We give thanks, Lord, for all those different kinds of times that are recorded in the scriptures. And we praise you that there are parts of the scriptures that are always particularly relevant for the kind of times that your people are going through. Lord, we ask that you will continue your good work by your Holy Spirit, and that we will live with the expectation of your will being done within our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to God's praise in closing from Psalm 139, singing the last four stanzas of the Psalm 11 to 14. We use the tune Holly number 15. Psalm 139, singing the stanzas at the end of the Psalm 11 to 14. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast their sum must be! It more than grains of sand I make. I'm still with you when I awake. The last stanza, it says, search me, O God, my heart discern. Test me, my anxious thoughts to learn. See if in hurtful ways I stray. Lead me in the eternal way. And we are to pray these words to the Lord. We are to ask him to show us those things, those hurtful ways or those offensive ways that are in us, so that by the Holy Spirit we might be led out of those ways and into better ways that are honoring to God and that are more reflective of our Lord and Savior, that are his ways rather than our ways. So Psalm 139, singing 11 to 14, the tune is Holly number 15. We stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer.
I'm still with you when I
receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.